The thing that's it's simply impossible for us to believe with this mind is that it's God's good pleasure to give us freely all things. And that there never, ever, ever should be any self-exertion. It is so foreign to the way they think and the way we've been brought up, and it's like I remember John Garlock interviewed me, a couple year or two or something after I became a believer. And he asked me, and in the interview he said, "What do you do?" And I just reread this interview that he did with me, and I said, "Well, from my understanding, that question for a believer is impossible to answer because you have no idea what you're going to do next, but you only know that if it takes exertion on your part, in other words, if you're conscious of effort, then you've left a mystery." Now that can't be comprehended by us. Because we are taught and taught and taught and taught that, rule after rule about, how to, God helps those that help themselves. And so, when I talk about stuff like there is no zero or there is no need or that time is out of the equation because the gift of God is eternal life, the result of seeing no zero or no time is there is no work. And if what you're doing in your mind is work, then you should stop if you want to be a believer. Now, How weird is that? That's not sensible. There's no place in our heads for that to reside. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
What if somebody said, "What have you done, or what are you going to do?"
You know better than to ask me that question, don't you?
I know. Well, no, not really. I mean, it's just a whole different.
What am I going to do? I have no idea.
Is
meaningless.
Well, other than that's a fruit of the answer to the question.
Well, I don't know.
I have, the works of God have followed me. Some evidence of whether it's a condition.
I don't know that I can even get into that because that causes me to come back down into the kingdom of work. I mean, I don't. But it's funny that from the beginning of the time that that it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, as Paul says, I knew that if it was work, it was wrong. If it was effort, it was a lie. And I hope that for ever since I began speaking, that has been the predicate of what I talk about. But I don't think anybody really rocks it. Because I hear you complaining about what you're doing. And I've said that there's no gradient or no relative importance. Nothing is more important than anything else. That has to also be the predicate of a believer. Zero is a mortal enemy of both honesty and a believer and spirit. But doing is an even greater enemy. You know, and people say, well, and I've talked about this a lot, and I've given speeches about it and stuff. And what the thing always comes back to, well, the scriptures say, go you into all the world and make disciples and stuff. No, it doesn't say that. The Great Commission isn't a command. It's in the aorist tense, and it's better stated, as you go into your world, you will make disciples. Because if you believe, you will speak. Take no thought for the food you're going to eat. Take no thought for the clothes you're going to wear. Take no thought for the shelter you're going to have. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. All of these are incomprehensible to the mind. Because instead of taking no thought for tomorrow, then you'll get these modern day translations that says, well, don't be anxious about anything. It doesn't say that. It says take no thought. And I promise you, here's the issue. As long as there's the slightest effort to work it, then you will end up in debt. Not debt. I mean, financial debt is just a revelation of your spiritual condition. You're in debt to so many of the plans and courses of action that your mind has defined that you spend. I mean, you can't. There's freedom is impossible for you because you can't sleep, you can't think, you can't be because you've got all this debt weighing on you. And then if you're in the physical debt, it's just the manifestation. I mean, the financial debt. Now, does anybody believe that you can live a life without effort?
I know this. When I hear you saying what you're saying this morning, I feel weight coming off me. And in my core, I feel joy. And I also know when someone is saying that there's something to do, it makes me crazy. And I can't... I sometimes tell me there's something to do.
But that's, sometimes?
No, that's my problem with me. I'm talking now about somebody out here putting on me something. I just can't take it.
Well, let me give you the perfect example of this is, and that's probably why he's here, is the evil one back here, Kevin. There's not any other Kevins here. Is that he cannot stand it. He can't. It just makes. He cannot do it. If anything he's doing has any more importance than anything else. So if, and Harry, of course, says this has got to be done at this time. And Kevin. Kevin goes crazy. I mean, he can't do that.
Yeah, I'm saying it's wrong.
It is wrong if you say it has to be done at this time.
Okay, see, he's saying it. I'm
not. Because nothing that we are doing. Okay, we have a newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks. Who cares if it's a day late? I mean, I'd rather it not be, but who cares? It's not going to. If I mean, there's nothing. The existence of Trinity Foundation is meaningless to us. It's just the tool by which we relate to the world. But as the tool, remember it says, as abusing the world, as using the world but not abusing it. Using means, it's you use it as a tool. But no, there's no tool any greater than another. And without abusing it, it means without giving it any breath. We can't give, Trinity Foundation is meaningless. The Door magazine is meaningless. The investigations are meaningless. They're just what we're doing. And we didn't ask to do them. It just happened. But the moment it becomes a weight, then it either is a revelator for you to see that there is no weight, or it should be discarded.
I can't remember what I did yesterday. I did stuff. I
Well, for you, you should be. That's you're the exception. Swedes should always be told what to do and when to get it done by. Yeah, fill out a daily thingy and mark and account for your time and a punch card and all that stuff.
Does that have anything to do with what you're talking about?
Yeah. It has everything to do with it.
What is the...
Like, I don't remember what I did.
I mean, you're talking about work, and then you're talking about effort. And I'm thinking, this random scripture, I don't even know where it is. It's coming in my head about if Paul says something about if you don't work, then you shouldn't eat, or, what's that work? What is that?
Well, he's talking about the whole idea of what it...
Something about in the
community. Yeah, in the community, if you don't work, if you're just a parasite, then your problem has nothing to do with spirit. Life isn't motivated by love. It's motivated by the ultimate of self. And those are... Here's the kicker. Go to Romans 4. Let me give some examples. We're working with an attorney in Los Angeles, and he wants to have some stuff that we have. Okay. And he would like it by 3 days ago, say. Well, screw him. It'll get done when it gets done. No, Bill Abdel wants some stuff from us. He has to have it in order for something else to happen. We will, because that's what we do. If it becomes something that makes you crazy or leaving the rest, then you need to come and talk to me. The perfect example of this is Harry. Now, you've heard me say this, but he's so easy. I just got to tell you about it. For the first few years he was here, every few months he would just go crazy. He's overwhelmed. And so then this continued on and on and on a bunch of times. And we'd talk and he'd be all right. And so I told him then finally to write down everything he has to do that's overwhelming him. And so he made a meticulous list. There were 53 items on the list of things that he had to do. And there were some things that I'd asked him to do and some other things that he thought he had to do and all that kind of stuff. But the on the list were brush his teeth, take a shower. The normal things that you just do without thinking, that it's just... And there wasn't any internal discretion about ranking, because he put and we've made fun of him since then, because every time I've told this little story, then everybody gets a little smile on their face, and because Harry's the Clyde that it's the example.
But the point of it is that
what he did is really the first step to freedom. To know that brushing your teeth isn't any more important than getting the Door magazine out, or the Door magazine, or the investigation isn't any more important than brushing your teeth, or mowing the lawn isn't any more. There's no ranking, and if you can get rid of ranking, Paul says, if he that compares is unwise, and comparing is ranking. And it's talking, if you're comparing yourself to what somebody else is doing spiritually, then you're also stupid.
It's the rest of the zero story.
Right. There can't be any comparison if there's no zero. There can't be any comparison or comparing or ranking if there's not a consciousness of time. You just be. That's why he uses the spiritual parables are almost always about plants. Because plants have no self-consciousness, obviously. They're about they're about, you know, the vine and the branch, or the seed falling into the ground, or the others, or else they're about animals without self-conscious, like the bird flying or the lily growing. But can you understand that there is a connection in you? There is a center in you that is there to only respond to the Spirit of God, and it'll revolutionize your life, because it takes no source for information from the senses. Now, we've studied this over and over. It's the pineal body in Genesis 32, and it's that's why Jacob named the place Peniel, because he saw the face of God, and then he died. Jacob died, and he became Israel. Well, that's what must happen in each one of us. The pineal gland is internally in you, and I believe it's in all animals. It's how instinct runs or operates. But in man, they thought it was another evidence of evolution, when they called it a vestigial organ, because it was like the eyelid or the nictitating membrane or the fingernails or your hair. It didn't have any purpose that they could see. And so they called it the evidence for evolution. Well, that's just crazy. Because that pineal gland, our body, because it wasn't apparent, now they know it does all kinds of stuff. But I believe its center point and its purpose is the communication with God, with the Holy Spirit. And it's like your mind has got 50 billion neurons, and they're all scrambled, and they're all depending on your ancestry and your education and where you grow up and what socioeconomic group you're in and whether you're black, white, or blue, or whether you're, especially it's bad for Swedes, but all those those billions of neurons are what define how you be. Now, and those are, they're blown away at the cross, so that the only guidance is this pineal body. It's like. And it takes a while for it to be revealed to you, because you don't trust it, because it doesn't make sense to all these other billions of neurons. But all those billions of neurons are called sin, because their purpose is to realize and self-realize you. And this handwriting of ordinances is wiped away in Him. And now you live, the channel is clear, you just live. And you, there's no ranking of stuff. There's no weekends or no vacations, or that's just crazy. They're just being. Now back to, did we go to Romans yet?
Yeah.
Romans 4? All right. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the faith, had found? That's an important question. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now the whole point of Abraham is the promise given to Abraham came before the law. This is critical, because that's, you got to see this. Then the law came because of rebellion, and to show people that the promise, it's not dependent on the law. The purpose of the law was to shut up your mouth, to shut up these neuron paths. You got it?
Yeah.
For if Abraham were justified by works, our work, our effort, our doing, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's what the work of God is, according to Jesus Christ. What must we do the work of God? We believe on Him who He has sent. We 100% rely on Him who He has sent. And in order to 100% rely on Him, you have to unrely everything else. You got it? Okay, and it, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. In other words, if you have this great and precious promise, this unbelievable mystery that is beyond anything you could conceive or want or desire, but you still believe you have to do something, then you're working. It's work. So therefore, if once any effort starts, when any effort, any work starts, then automatically this reward is not reckoned of grace. It becomes a debt. And because it becomes a debt, you can't let other people know how much in debt you are, and that produces hypocrisy. And so you have to guard yourself and think about and do, blah, blah, blah. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, believeth, rely 100% on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
So believing is not a work in any sense.
No, it's just being a vine in a branch, or a branch in a vine.
It's kind of, if you enter into rest, belief is what happens.
Right.
So it's not your.
There's nothing you can work up. You can't figure it out. You won't get more of it by reading. You won't get more of it by studying. Because faith cometh by hearing, but hearing cometh by the rhema of God. Faith and belief are the same word, in pistis. And it doesn't mean anything like, I believe the light's on, or I believe that's the color blue, or I believe Josanna's a bitch, or anything like that.
Which is not true.
No, she's a wonderful, wonderful person. Just shows how much my mind lies to me sometimes. Perfect example. Sometimes my mind even tells me that Harry is nice. Can you believe that? But anyway, believe in that's used in the Scriptures has nothing to do with the kind of belief that we use it in English. Believe is 100% reliance. It's total dependence. It's the dependence of the small child before self-awareness. But now it's dependence on the Father who hath created everything.
You mean to put your full weight upon?
Yeah, that's the.
I can understand. Doing what's set before you to do as opposed to working. And I can understand that if you're working, that the grace is now reckoned of debt, and it's because, you know, whether you know it or not, you reckon that what's the grace is this big and the work is this big, and so now you're major in debt, but you're trying to pay it off. But from there, you went to that causes you to do something.
Be a hypocrite.
I couldn't make the connection there.
Okay.
I probably can't figure it out, so you're just going to have to explain it. And I probably hate myself opening my mouth, but go for it anyway.
Be gentle.
What I always say is that when you go, if you go to quote-unquote church, you shouldn't put on your Sunday best, you should put on your Saturday night worst. You shouldn't have a way of acting that to behave in church. You should be, if church is the place to misbehave, it's the place to be everything that you are. Now, if I don't know that, then I have, and I am in debt, then all I can do is go sit in a pew and be alone, and the more grace I hear, the greater debt I carry or get. And so I either have to just leave the church or I have to become a very good actor. I have to sit and you know, I have to be nice to people and I have to raise my children in a particular way so they won't embarrass me and I have to be around only people that won't bring out this crap. Am I starting to communicate?
Yeah, that makes sense out of that.
Okay. So that's why the debt produces hypocrisy. And that's and again, that's what we've done all our lives. If we're honest, that's what whatever venue we went into. Let me. If I hadn't been in this unit where I didn't have to, if I had to be a unit where I saluted everybody, and when I was a kid, when I was in the service, I'd still be in jail because I couldn't. I couldn't have done it. I mean, it wouldn't have fit in me. I would have been. I couldn't go into that much debt. I would have had to have just hit my. Some of you met Bill Ballard. He's a little guy. He was my commanding officer. He was a captain then, for most of the time. And I mean, he and I were roommates, and nobody knew that he was my boss or anything. I mean, when we went to different places around the world, we roomed together. Well, that was totally illegal in the normal, service. You can't. There's a name for it, but you can't mess around with enlisted men. But I mean, that's an example of grace that God had called me before, because He knew that if I had to do that, I would have gone insane. I couldn't have done it. So, my point to you is, He's all of the things that you've been through and everything that you've learned and all of the processes that brought you to here are all Him. He wrought all your works in you. Whether you think they were just or unjust, fair or unfair, whether they were good according to the world standards or illegal according to the world standards, He used them all. That's like Gary once asked me, did I think his time at Christ for the Nations did him any good at this Bible college? I said, it's the same amount of good as a drug addict taking cocaine. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is to get you to the point. It's all, God wrought all your works in you.
It brings to mind Pharaoh putting heavier and heavier burdens on Israel, which is God putting heavier and heavier burdens. The debt becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until finally
you crash. Well, the reason, again, God didn't punish Egypt because they were bad people. He punished Egypt because Israel had accepted their gods. Now, what kind of a thing is that? Well, that's grace. Perfect type. He's not going to punish His people. He's going to punish those that He's going to show you by destruction of whatever that the gods of those out there that you have accepted are failing them. That's why all things happen and exist for your sake. It's all of it. Everything is just to bring us to the awe of God. Remember that cross writing. Will it be today? What can make you arise from your spiritual death? Shall love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall a cup of cold water stir the remembrance of the garden where we walked and talked together? Shall the smell of a flower turn your head to my love, waiting to be received? Shall the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? What shall it be? For I shall try all things to reach you. I will pound at your heart with tears of my rain, standing as the only light within your cavern of death, waiting, waiting. Waiting for the breaking of your pride, that you might be set free and live. That's all. Pride is simply the I motive, the I awareness. Who could think such a thing? Any response? We're going to leave. We're going back to what we left to go to. We're going back to Ecclesiastes Monday, I hope.
Well, when we're talking about do stuff, I was thinking that right now I'm sitting here doing this. As soon as you said take a big guy, I'm going to get up and watch this bowl. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk out the door and put my coat on and walk to my house and go sit with my dad. And at each moment, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to be doing whatever is set before me to do with everything in me. And each one of those things are as important as this or that. But to think in those terms is...
Right, it frees you. But the mystery is that every one of those moves, it's faith which is empowered by love. But it's not love that you can generate, it's His love.
Yeah. And we're partakers only, observers of the seeing it, but if I rank this as important and walking out the door as unimportant, then I'm into zero thing.
Well, you're back. You got to be careful because what this is spiritual food. Mm-hmm. That is, by definition, spiritual food has to be that which destroys the natural. And so, if you think that eating is unimportant, then you'll just go your way. So eat. I mean, this shouldn't. If this is no more important than eating.
Yes, but it's important to eat.
Well, unless you're fasting.
Yes.
My point is, you're going to eat without thinking about it. You're going to drink without thinking about it. You don't have to have any awareness of anything.
Right.
You just be. And if something brings your awareness to yourself, even the analogy, you have to say, Father, forgive me.
It reminds me of one of our former members who told us one night about how he almost constantly narrated his life. This is so-and-so getting out of the chair. This is so-and-so walking across the room.
Remember his first hot seat?
Now I will pick up my bowl. And he was caught in this horrible place of narrating his own life.
But it was just to show us what we do, on a minor scale. He had to do it all the time.
This thing about getting overwhelmed is, you know, like when you drive down the highway and you see that the guy next to you is coming up next to you and who's going to move and how you get all those computations that go on in there that tell you that you can in fact pull off the lane without hitting the guy. That's what this thing does all the time. And the idea of being overwhelmed is, in a flash, your brain goes, have to do this, 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 and this. It'll take this, 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 and this. And by Tuesday at 3 p.m., I will be out of gas.
Well, but again, the
instant... You have to do all kinds of manipulations to get to that point.
No, at the instant that there is an awareness of that, and this is what I've tried to say so often to you, the instant there's an awareness of whatever that is for you, that's the time of repentance. So that you don't go and come, for the last 3 days, this has really been bugging me. I want you to get to the point where a nanosecond is too heavy. So there is no weight. I'm talking to both the airy guys here.
The point I was going to make was that requires all kinds of apostasy, because you have to. It all requires taking God out. God can't increase the supply. God can't change the time element. God isn't at work. This is a straight line.
Yeah, you calculate without God is what
4/4 equals.
Yeah, but you and Gary are exactly alike, except for one key reason: you cannot keep it in, and he's an expert at keeping it in. No, it just makes you different. But both important. But you can learn from him.
Okay.
Did I make my point? All you out in radio land, wherever in the hell that is. Take it, big guy, quick. Before somebody else says something.